Good evening to all. My name is Elizabeth Bailey. I'm called Liz in AA, and I stick to Liz because it sounds better than what I have been called. I stand before you tonight, one of the most grateful alcoholics you could ever lay your eyes on. I want to thank the committee for this privilege and honor that you have bestowed upon me. I wanted to thank the deputy mayor. She just now bestowed a beautiful honor on me. She presented me with her card, and whenever I come to Akron, Ohio, I can call on her for anything, and she better watch it. I don't watch it. I want to thank Carl and Mary for such a and Walter for such a beautiful dinner last night. And my family from Ohio that came today just gave me the thrill of my life. I love you. I love so many of you in this room. I think I could take the rest of the time to thank the group from Jersey and Buffalo and all over. Yeah. That has come in busloads here for our happy 51st Founders Day. I feel really honored and privileged. I love you all, and it's so true. When I read the bulletin and you said, Liz B., what did you call me? Something from Manhattan. Oh, the Belle of Manhattan. I flipped out. And I just laughed about it, and it made me feel very good. As most of you can know, I'm nervous, and it's a good time to be nervous. When I spoke for Bill Wilson, I didn't even have this audience. But I'm going to do my best, okay? I want to thank all the speakers that I heard at the meetings and everyone that's sitting up on the dais for being here with me. I hope I didn't leave anyone out, but I do love you all. There was a minister preaching one time, and he says, if you drink alcohol, you're doomed to die. And the little old lady down front, she said, amen. He says, now if you smoke those cigarettes, you're doomed to die. And she said, amen. He says, now if you chew tobacco, she says, look at that. He stopped preaching and gone to meddling. So I'm going to really go to meddling. This is my third trip to Ohio in a short time, and if you people keep it up, please look for me. Getting hot. Please look for me a home to move here, please. Did it drop? I got to do this one then. I put it around my neck for the fact that I move quite a bit, so I'll just stand here, be disciplined right now. I said I was, you know, been here three times in a short time to Ohio, and I really love Ohio. And I was saying maybe pretty soon you'll get me a house and I'll move here, because you people are keeping me up in the air. I've been flying something. But it's been beautiful. God's been bringing me safe and taking me back safe, and I don't take that for granted. I haven't gone and gotten anyone a new story that has heard me before. It's the same one warmed over, and we'll see what God does with it. And I'm one of the gals that tell you, too, that anything that came out of my mouth, I do pray before I get up here. And anything I say that you don't like, please take it up with the higher power. Don't come to me, okay? Don't come to me. Don't come to me. I'm the oldest of five children. I was born in Brooklyn. I was raised in Manhattan, and that's why you call me the Belle of Manhattan. And I was raised on 163rd between Amsterdam and Edgecombe. I came from a broken-up home. My dad was a pitiful drunk. I'm really not allowed to call anyone an alcoholic but myself. I grieve because of my father's drinking, and I used to watch the policemen beat him and the neighbors hit him in the head with frying pans, and he used to come out of Mother Cabrina Hospital wrapped like a mummy many, many times. I'm ever grateful, and this is what makes me say that I'm a grateful alcoholic. I'm ever grateful that I was in the fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous when my father hung himself. I don't believe to this moment that I could have accepted that death if I had been actively drinking. I would have used his death to try to drink myself to death. I've never seen my mom take a drink in my entire life. She's 94. She tells you she's old, but she's not cold, so you know what I go through. And for those of you who heard me before, I still wish I could give that lady two lousy drinks and bring her to hell into my program. She could use the whole 12 steps and the whole 12 traditions, but I'm not bothering that lady, okay? That lady made rice wine when I was 12 years old. She received the ingredients from the welfare, such as rice and raisins. And this is my first drink and my first drunk at the age of 12. And when I look back, I was a stone alcoholic at 12 years old. I don't know anything about social drinking, about crossing any lines. I've seen a hell of a lot of lines, but I don't know about crossing any. And she made this rice wine, and she left myself and a little girl named Marion to sieve this rice wine through cheesecloth. And to show you the difference, Marion sieved and sipped two lousy drinks, and she went to hell on home. But I sieved and I sipped. Oh, honey, I sieved and I sipped. And I sieved and I sipped. And I sieved and I sipped. I put on a drunk at 12 that was a drunk. And my mother lectured to me all night long. I went out the next day snapping my fingers and telling my friends what a ball I had, and I don't even remember what the hell happened. But this began to be the pattern of my life. If you didn't drink to get drunk and pass out, then you didn't say too much for me. At the age of 14, I was selling King Kong booze, and I want you to believe it was King Kong. It stood you straight and it knocked the hell out of you, too. And someone suggested that I take mayonnaise, olive oil, butter, and cream, line yourself up. You know how they tell you to eat a good meal. Well, let me tell you, that King Kong was so powerful, it went all through the mayonnaise, the olive oil, the butter, the cream. So I stopped taking that sick stuff. I sold plenty of booze. I made good money. I was padlocked into a side room for my protection. I was laying out the window one night. I live one flight up. And I saw this sharp cat. Woo! Lord have mercy. He just tipped on down the street. And he carried a big roll of money. I know now was a $5 bill around a lot of ones. But I said, I got me a live one, I got a live one, and I had a live one. He took me down to the Lower East Side where you sent for Liz and Al to have a good time. And I went because I wanted them to come up and give me a play. At the age of 14, I went up to my mom one night, and I said, Mom, would you sign for me to marry this man? I said, he happens to be 10 years older than myself. And she says, oh, no, dear, over my dead body. That man will have you out in the street, and you'll live a terrible life with that man. And I found out something about myself at the age of 14. Don't you ever, but never, tell me what not to do. I'm going to do it if I have to pay all kinds of prices. I paid a hell of a lot of prices. I thank God AA suggested everything to me. Otherwise, I wouldn't be standing here. I quit school at 14. I took sleep-in jobs. I was drunk every Thursday and Sundays. I was sitting up in the bars at 17 with these big flappy hats just like this lady has over here. And honey, you couldn't tell me I wasn't saying something. Child, I was drinking them frosted gases. And I left New York with this man at the age of 17. And I went to Baltimore, Maryland on the third day of January 1939. I was standing in the courthouse being married. And I was crying my heart out. And the minister stopped my wedding ceremony, and he says, my dear young lady, would you mind telling me just what you're crying about? And I said, well, at last I got him. I'm going to be honest with every one of you in this room tonight that Mr. Bailey has not stopped crying till yet. That was the sorriest day of that man's life when he said, I do, to Liz Ulrich. Now, I came back to New York, and this is why you titled me the Gal of Manhattan. I was going to paint New York red. Woo! No more mama, no more neighbors. Nobody was going to tell me how to live. I done got this cat and woo! Well, I want to tell you, I'm 65 now. Could you picture what I was at 17? Woo! Lord have mercy. Ah! Lord have mercy. Bob. Woo! Oh, I was going to tear up New York. Yes, indeed. I was ready. I was ready, honey. Got that old piece of paper and I was just gone. Got back to New York with this man and he gave up every liquor joint. He gave up gambling. He gave up hustling. He gave up going to parties and he sat down. And I became a mental case at the age of 17. Believe me, because I'm raring to go and this cat's sitting. And by the way, he's still sitting. You see? And I couldn't take that sitting down at the age of 17. And so I started to drink every day. And I looked forward to weekend drunks. I rounded up 8 sets of friends. I knew where I was going every weekend. And now I watched a change come over me. I had to have a drink to wash, to iron, to cook, whatever. I had to have a drink. I remember the doctor saying to Mr. Bailey, why do you take this lady to funerals? Because after every funeral, I needed the doctor. I'd have convulsions. Well, he didn't know Mr. Bailey couldn't take me to weddings or christenings either. You couldn't take me anywhere that there was booze. My party was never over. I continued to drink. Now I watched a change come over me. Every word came out of my mouth was a curse word. I began to fight everything and everybody. I began to leave my house from one day to 3 weeks at a time. I watched me going down. Many, many people pulled me up on the carpet. Why do you drink the way you do? Why do you act the way you do? You have a beautiful home, and I didn't call it a home, it was a house. Yes, I had every material thing any woman wanted on this earth. It never meant anything to me. Mr. Bailey happens to be a furrier by trade, girls. And every time I had a period of dryness when I just couldn't drink anymore, he'd make me the most gorgeous fur coats. I had fur coats like you had beans, if you had been in the bean factory. But let me tell you, one year he made me the most gorgeous leopard coat you ever laid your eyes on. And he threw a party for the job because they all worked on this coat. And he brought this coat home and he threw it out on the bed. And I hated that coat, a leopard coat. You know, I said he made it so he could spot me anywhere. I wouldn't wear that, and I wished I had it in sobriety many times, believe me. And so I continued to drink, and I stayed on my knees continually. Daddy, I'm sorry. Please forgive me, Daddy. I don't want to drink like this. I don't want to act like this. And he would tell you 20 minutes to an hour, my thinking would go off and I would go off. One of my neighbors pulled me up on the carpet and she said to me, I'm very much ashamed to live next door to somebody like you. I bought this house to get away from people like you. She said, would you mind just telling me what's the matter with you? And I said, Jimalee, I suffer with my nerves. And Jimalee suggested that I drink rum. Isn't that nice? I left Jimalee standing in my little bitty kitchen, and I ran around to the Empire Liquor Store, and I bought a bottle of rum. Now, I live in Jamaica, Long Island. I'm still waiting for one of you drunks to tell me how in the hell did I wake up in Briarcliff, New York, with that bottle of rum. And here in Briarcliff, New York, a beautiful lady named Wig took me into her home, and I became a booze fighter in her home. I would get up in the morning and I'd put a shot in my coffee. I'd call it Coffee Royal. I would hide the lousy bottle. I don't care where I hid it. I found it all day because I didn't want it to leak. You know, don't spill nothing. You know, don't leak nowhere. And by the end of the day, I'd be upping and booping and this poor soul didn't know what to do for me. I became so ashamed, so full of guilt and remorse. I began to sit in the Catholic church all day. And at 4 o'clock, I'd say, now do a decent thing, Liz. And you all can identify with me with this. Every one of you drunks, believe me. Because I'd say, I'm going to peel this lady's potatoes today. And I'm going to do a decent thing today. And so I'd walk from the church right into the bar. And I'd say to the bartender, give me one to relax. Because I'm going to peel this lady's potatoes. Give me 2 to get started. I've got to do a decent thing. Now, when I drank, they gave a 3rd free drink. I don't walk out on nobody's free drink. That's not nice. That is not nice. And then I have to buy one back to look good. It's very important that I look good. And by the time I got to the fourth or the fifth drink, the hell with hung up potatoes. Let's roll. So, you know, the lady never got any potatoes from me. I continued to drink, and one cold night I called Mr. Bailey, and he banged the phone up on me. And I called my neighbor, and she said, "Liz, please come home. Your little girl is crying, she won't eat, and she's calling for you." And so I took the train, and I went home one cold night. And I always had to fight if I had to get back into my home. And so I came in, I'd charge up a block away, and I'd come in fighting to get in. And so I remember now I began to hit Mary Immaculate Hospital. I do not suggest that you girls fry a frozen chicken drunk. I hit the grease over on my legs. I burned up both of my legs with third-degree burns. And the good sisters were always patching me up my arms through window plate glasses and broken fingers, falling down the basement steps, busted my ribs. I saw Mr. Bailey step over me and go to work. And I swore till I got into AA that the man whipped me, but the man never touched me, just stepped over me and went to work. And there I couldn't get up with the broken ribs, and I continued to drink. And I said to him one night, "Maybe if you drank with me, you non-alcoholics, don't that sound familiar? Yeah, maybe if you drank with me, I wouldn't want to drink so much and roam." So he went around, he bought a bottle of Gordon's gin. And about 11 o'clock, the bottle got like this. Now, every alcoholic in this room knows what happens to me at 11 o'clock. I panicked, because the liquor store is going to close at 12, and that little bit is not going to last me to the morning, and I have to have the hair of the dog that bit me the night before. So I took my elbow, and I hit him, and I said, "Daddy, would you get up and run around and get another bottle quick before the store closed?" He said, "Not me, Liz. I've had enough. You know I wanted to kill him, don't you? You ever see an Indian on a rampage at 2 in the morning? Here I am, up, dressed, out, zoom! Aren't you afraid to go underneath the Long Island Railroad at 2 o'clock in the morning?" Well, who the hell was thinking about the railroad? I wasn't. I was getting to Sutton's Bar and Grill to fill my Coca-Cola and close up the place. I continued to drink, and I continued to watch me going down. I remember I went out and had a $2 beer drunk, and I came in and he says, "Oh, look at this, you're drunk again and no dinner." I said, "Listen, dear, do me a favor, don't argue with me when I'm drinking. That means shut up, period, because I'm drunk all the time, and I don't want to hear your mouth when I'm drunk." And I had been beaten to a pulp a couple of good times where I couldn't come out. And one day I reached over on my night table, and I picked up the Bible, and I figured I'm going to find the answer to straighten out my life in this Bible. And as he passed my room, he seen me with the Bible, and he started to scream, "Put that Bible down, you hypocrite! Put it down! 20 minutes to an hour, you'll be so drunk, you'll be slapping a kid down." And he was right. Nobody grabbed my coat or dress. You got beat up if you mess with me getting a drink. And then he said, and the cab drivers, they used to say, "Oh, please take somebody else's cab. It took me 3 days to clean up my cab behind you." And I used to say, "Well, who the hell does he think he is? I paid 50 cents to get in that cab. Don't tell me who to get take." Or I'd be swinging a corner. This is the first time I thought about taking my life. And you good sisters and priests and nuns in this audience, please forgive me. But I really got up into the second floor window, and I was standing directly in the window getting ready to throw my body down into the yard because I was sick and tired of being sick of this rotten life of mine. And there's a little lady named Nana Backer down in the backyard, and she spots me in the window, and she starts to scream, and, "Mr. Bailey, Mr. Bailey, you better get her. She's going to jump." And I see his head come out the kitchen window. Then I see his hands come out, and he says, "Nana, will you let that bitch jump? I'll be rid of all my problems and all my troubles. Let that bitch jump." And I looked over at him, and I wanted to know, who the hell did he think he was? I guarantee every one of you I got down out of that window, got back in that bed, I pulled the sheet over me, and I slept that drunk off. He really should have suggested that I jump. I continued to drink, and I continued to watch myself go down. And then when I had this beer drunk, and I asked him to see me up to the bed, and I remember him walking me 3 steps. And when I came to, there was a policeman sitting at the front of me, and there was blood all over me. My front 2 teeth was going like this. And I finally found out I had totally blacked out. It took me 3 days to find out. I had took another 3 days to find out I had hit Kings County Hospital. And when Mr. Bailey came to get me, I said, man, don't lay down. Don't lay down. I'm going to get you for taking me to some Kings County. You know, he sat up in chairs for 3 nights. And you don't blame the man, because I'm crazy. I might have gotten him if he laid down. I continued to drink, and I continued to watch myself go down. And many, many people pulled me up on the carpet. Why do you drink that way? Why do you act that way? You've got 3 beautiful children. You don't work. You have a beautiful home. And I could rattle off excuses. Woo! I could rattle them off. And my main excuse was loneliness. I cried a loneliness. Oh, my God. Oh, always looking for someone to love me, to understand me, to do something with me. And I could never find it in the bottle or in the streets of New York. Mr. Bailey came to me one day and he says, you're the most loveliest wife when you're sober. But drunk, you're a Jekyll and a Hyde. Why don't you try this AA? When you desire a drink, run over to the phone and pick up the phone and call someone. And they will send someone out to talk you out of the drink. Well, I'm not going into the flowery words of what I said to Mr. Bailey, because cursing is my character defect. And I cannot stand here and tell any of you I'm perfect in that department yet, but I'm much better. I've progressed. But I think every one of you know what I told him to do with AA, don't you? Okay. Long as you know what I told him to do with it. And he walked away from me because I had a slogan that was a slogan before AA, to each his own. I'm drinking this stuff and you don't want for anything, and blip, I'd let you have it. I continued to drink another 8 to 10 months after that. And I watched me going down and down, always bargaining with God. Oh, God, please help me. I never asked God to stop me from drinking, but just don't let me get into as much trouble the next time. And so I continue. I'm going to tell you about my last drink and drunk, because, you know, I drank for a period of 19 years, and I could not tell you 19 years of drinking. Much of my drinking had to be told to me, because my children were even always saying to me, Ma, go and apologize to this one. Ma, please, you did this and that. I used to think they were lying on me, but I got sober and they weren't lying. I was doing these insane things, putting holes in the walls, breaking up furniture, and just carrying on. I had gotten to the last where I wouldn't let any man or anybody put me in a car. I'd let you walk me home. I'd lose my glasses, my scarves. I'd bust up my knees, my arms all banged up. I'd wake up Mr. Bailey, get up and give this guy a drink, and I'd fall into bed with clothes and all. And he used to say to me, Liz, why do you bring these people home to me? I have to be up at 5:30 in the morning. You got this guy standing over me. I don't even know who he is. And I got my money and my jewelry laying over there. What are you doing? Oh, it scared me. That wasn't too long after that I stopped drinking, I'll tell you that. But again now, there was a lady named Mrs. Lindbaum. I hadn't seen her since I was 8 years old, and I really wanted to see Mrs. Lindbaum. And I got up and I made the salads and I straightened up. I left the dusting to last. And I remember the phone rang. And it was one of the men from the post. I'm now drinking with hard two-fist drinkers in the VFW hall. I could never stand you if you took 2 drinks and went home. See, I pick up a drink, I leave home. I don't stay there no more because I have to drink in peace. You know, I can't stand you with your mouth going and looking at me and the silent treatment. And I can run you down the line. And please don't mark my bottle. Don't put a mark on my bottle. And please do not cook bacon and eggs if I'm coming off a drunk. Exit! Exit! Got to go. Can't stand it. And so again, the phone rang the second time. And this man said to me, would you come? I have someone I would like you to meet. And I said, oh, don't bug me today. Please, there's a lady coming. I'd like to stay here and see her. I haven't seen her since I'm 8 years old. I banged the phone down on him. I went to the store and I came back. He was on the phone for the third time. He said, hop a cab. I'll introduce you to the people. I'll send you back home to your company. Well, I figured, let me do that because he's going to drive me up a wall today. He's not going to let me stay in here. I got in a cab and I went over to the post on 110th and Merrick Road. And the booze started lining up and the jukebox was going and I'm singing, you always hurt the one you love, the one you don't want to hurt. Oh, give me another drink. I could sing them old Weepin' Harry songs and give me another drink. And, of course, when I woke up, I was in one of the kids' twin beds. And my second son was always good to me, always had the pan ready. He always nursed me with soups and salads because I never ate when I drank. And at the foot of this bed stood my mother and Mr. Bailey. And my mother was screaming to the rooftops that somebody had done something to me. You know, it's never her kid. You know how we mothers are? Never my kid. Or she wasn't that bad, you know. But she was screaming this day. And Mr. Bailey was standing there, and he was shaking his head like this at her. And he was saying, no, Mom. No, Mom. Nobody has done anything to her. She happens to be a very sick girl. Well, he didn't call me bitch. You know my bit name was bitch, don't you? Okay. But he didn't call me that day. And something went all over me when he said to my mother that I was a very sick girl. I got up out of that bed and I went down into the basement of the house and I stayed 2 days in the basement praying to die. I wanted out. I wanted out. And I looked over at my oldest son. He was sitting there reading a book. And I said to Richard, I can't live this way. This is not the way I want to live. Mommy is going to go up on the Long Island Railroad, and I'm going to jump in front of a train, and I'm just going to end it all. And I started screaming, oh, God, please help me. And something said to me, try this AA. I called. They didn't have anyone to send me. I got myself together, and if some of you old-timers in here remember in New York, Intergroup used to be on 28th Street and Lexington Avenue. I got into the vestibule and the aroma got me and I said, the hell with AA. Then I said, no, you came over this far, try it again. I got in the middle of the landing and as I went to turn to go down to the bar, a lady looked down the steps and she says to me, are you having trouble? And I said, yes, ma'am. And I ran up the stairs to her. She escorted me into the front part of the office, and she sat me down, and she started to tell me about her life. My God, my mother always taught me, you don't go out and tell anybody about yourself. Don't you dare tell about the fights in your house. Don't you care where you got that black eye and busted mouth. You keep that in your house. You put it under the rug, in the closet, in a drawer, but don't you tell nobody about you. And this lady kept talking. And I said, oh, my God, why don't she put this stuff in a garbage can and make sure she got a lid on it? Because I would never tell you about myself before AA. I didn't have time anyway. I was so busy lying, cheating, ducking, dodging. I worked like hell to get here. I paid a heavy price to get here, too. And also, I remember she turned to me and she says, you know, Liz, it's the first drink. I says, oh, come on, sweetie. I've been drinking for 19 years. She said, Liz, when you pick up one drink of any type of alcohol, it is only a matter of time that a compulsion sets up into you that you have to go all the way. Well, I remember that she hit me between the eyes because I've seen myself take 2 drinks on a Monday. Great. 2 lousy drinks on a Tuesday. You're looking for me. Wednesday, I'd drink a whole fifth and nothing happened. I'd go back Thursday and buy another fifth. I found the right brand. You're looking for me Thursday. Friday, I'm knitting without needles. Have any of you knitted without needles? Because by Friday, I'm walking up and down and I'm really knitting and I'm shaking and I'm down on my knees bringing up the green bile, but I've got to go get that drink to get me back in focus. And then she gave me the choice of two meetings, South Jamaica or Jamaica. And I said, well, I can't go to South Jamaica. My children go to that church. But I said, so what if the priests see you? If it's something in the church, it must be for good. I walked into my first AA meeting, and two girls looked up at me behind the coffee counter as I'm walking towards them. I'm only mimicking them. I'm not making fun of them. And they said, you don't look like an alcoholic. And I said, no, what the hell did I get myself into? Let me get the hell out of here. And I started running out of the room. And when I came to AA, we always kept two men at the door. And one man slapped me over here on the shoulder. And he says to me, what's the matter with you? Where are you going? And I said, those girls said I don't look like an alcoholic. I don't know what an alcoholic looks like. I'm about to lose my mind, my home, my children, and everything through drinking. He said, have a seat, sweetie. You in the right place. And they put two of these tables together that night, and each member shared their strength, their hope, and their experience with me. But for the grace of God. But for the grace of God. Alcoholics Anonymous, Al-Anon, Alateen, Alatot, N-A, O-A, G-A, P-A, the only A I've turned down is Sex Anonymous. That's the only one I've turned down. I was called to Seattle, Washington to speak on Sex Anonymous. I said, I didn't want my sex life on tape. You know, but if I live to 1 month from now, July the 11th, I'm looking forward to celebrating 34 years away from my last drink. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. And just think, I came in here at the age of 31, mentally, physically, and spiritually beaten to a bottom, knew absolutely nothing about me. I learned about me through you. By making seven meetings a week, three times on Sunday, I adopted myself the strongest sponsor. She was my sponsor for 28 years. And when I cried to this lady, she used to say, I want to tell you, Liz Bailey, AA don't need you, but you need AA. And another time I'd go and cry to her some more, and she'd say, sit on the pot or get up off it. She didn't say it that nice either, you know. And she belted me, but I loved her. I loved the ground she walked on for 28 years till she went home with the Lord. Because if she had pampered me, I would have never stayed. I would have never made it. That's me. This doesn't go for everybody. And so again, I'm ever grateful that AA taught me to get sober for myself, not for my mother. Because if I had to stay sober for my mother, I'd be drunk, drunk, drunk. My mother does not like me saying I'm an alcoholic. She still calls me, good morning, Reverend Bailey, how are you? And where are you speaking at next, Reverend Bailey? And I don't bother that lady, I'll tell you. 99% of us got mother trouble anyway, and I have it. And so again, I'll tell you, took my mom 29 and a half years to tell me to stay with them A's, whatever they are. You know, no, I told her I didn't plan to go nowhere. And I have to tell you, cats, today, you're not chasing me out of AA. No, you're not. I'm staying right here because I know where I belong. I know what has saved my life. And you see, the progression of alcoholism is still going on inside of me. If I take one drink, I would go up like paper, and I would never make it back because the guilt and the remorse would kill me. I know where the answer lies, in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous. Go to the meeting you don't want to go to. That's the one you're going to get it, baby. That's the one. That's the one. That's the one. That's it. That's it. Yeah. Here comes Mr. Bailey. And I Tell you the truth, Mr. Bailey tried the first 10 years. That cat worked overtime to get me back in the streets of New York. Mr. Bailey never liked the new me. He couldn't take the new me. 24 and a half years ago, I had the honor and privilege of speaking for our late co-founder, Bill Wilson. And I want to tell every one of you, I praise Bill Wilson and Dr. Bob every day of my life because those two men have saved our lives. I'm telling you, I praise them. I praise them. I praise them. I do, because that was something, because I lived in the day of time of Alcoholics Anonymous, because for many years before, there was no help for us alcoholics, none whatsoever. We were never recognized. And thank God today, there's over 400 anonymous groups that have stemmed from Alcoholics Anonymous. So this is a happy 51, believe me, to see the growth, and I have been privileged to see this growth. And after I spoke for Bill Wilson 24 and a half years, the most gorgeous man you ever laid your eyes on, oh, was he handsome. And you know, let me tell you, Mr. Bailey banged every pot and screamed and said he had to get rid of me, that he couldn't stand me in this sobriety any longer. 24 and a half years ago, I sat with step 3 and 11 because no one makes decisions for us but 3 and 11. And God says, if you stay with Mr. Bailey, you pick up one drink, you won't have you. When you pick up one drink, you don't have Mr. Bailey. And when you pick up one drink, you're out of this house from one day to 3 weeks at a time, sleeping in unfinished basements where people are saying, don't drink down there and don't smoke down there. You're being beat to a pulp in the street where you can't go out for weeks at a time. You're beaten so bad. Hitting hospital after hospital. And so 24 and a half years ago, I left Mr. Bailey sitting in a $60,000 house, and I moved to a room and kitchenette. And I could write a book about 34 years of sobriety, but every drunk wrote a book, got drunk, so I'm not writing any books. I'll tell you that right now. But I will tell you that right now. I'm not writing a book. But you see, I thank God for AA because I want to tell every one of you, I've heard it and you've heard it before from me, that I love Mr. Bailey. I will always love Mr. Bailey because Mr. Bailey kept that house and those children together when I was in the streets of New York. He could have always cashed it in. Tonight, before the meeting ends in the Lord's Prayer, remember Mr. Bailey. He's laying in Sloan's Kettering Hospital with his bladder taken out. He has cancer. And thank God that the 2 days before I came here, he was doing much better. How he is at the present time, I cannot tell any one of you. Because, you see, I almost started not to come. But God, in his wisdom, said to me, you must go and continue to do what you've been doing. Because, you see, the love of God is in each one of my loved ones. And the love of God is in Mr. Bailey. And so I'm sure whatever the will of God is for me when I arrive back at home, with your support and your love, I will be able to accept it. Okay? Because right now I can't tell you. Again, my oldest son has hated me for years. And I had to learn to forgive myself. And this is something I've said for years. Any man, any woman, any child wants to hold my past over my head has to be their problem. Because I found a God in Alcoholics Anonymous who has forgiven me 70 times 7. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. 70 times 7. Yes, he has. My second son was shot and killed. June 25th, 16 years ago. And again, this is what makes me a grateful alcoholic. He was a handsome cat. He was like his mother, you know, an alcoholic and addict. And I loved him and he loved me. And I don't cry for Dennis because I don't believe in crying for the dead. You disturb their beautiful spirit. John 14 has told you and I, let not our hearts be troubled. And I believe that. And so Dennis is fine. He left a beautiful wife and 2 children. My oldest son has a lovely wife and 2 children. Again, I have a daughter that I stopped drinking when she was 5. I thank God this girl has never known me as an active alcoholic, because she would have used my alcoholism to do a trip on herself. Believe me when I tell you, she would have used me for that. She's just come out of her 4th mental breakdown, and she's doing fantastic. 3 weeks ago, she wrote me the most gorgeous letter thanking me for being such a wonderful mother and being there when she needed me. And I thank God for you and God, because you helped me to be that wonderful mother to my children. I have a AA baby who's 30 years old. I named her after AA, Adrian Anita. But since she's a Muslim for the past 10 years, she changed her name to Aisha. Aisha lives in Boston. She just made me the mother, grandmother, for the 10th time. And I want to tell you something. I have 10 grandchildren from 22 down to newborn, and I see them by appointment only. Believe me. Appointment only. And when we are together, it is quality, good time. Quality, good time. Okay? Aisha came into town to buy some meats 1 year, and we walked into the A&P. She wears the shroud. She covers her beautiful face. I had a black hat on, the black coat. And as we walked into the A&P, the cashier says, "Oh, it's a stick-up, it's a stick-up." And I got hysterical laughing, and I went to the floor. And coming back on the subway, she says to me, "Mother, are you accepting me as a Muslim?" I said, "You join Hoodism, Buddhism. I really don't care whose ism, as long as it helps you to be a better person." And that's a slogan in AA that has saved my life. Live and let live. Dear God, can you allow people to live their lives? Live it! And you live yours to the fullest. To the fullest. I have watched so many people in the last few weeks at meetings trying to control everything and control everybody, and boy, do you stay uptight. You stay uptight. Believe me with that. Let it loose. Let them go. When I cut the biblical cord 30 years ago, that was it. And she's grown today. They have to make their own decisions. But I thank God I'm there if they need me. If they need me, I'm there. But to run their lives, no, I don't do that. No, I don't believe in that. I admit, I accept, and I surrender to the fact that I am an alcoholic. I have no choice to pick up a drink if I want to live this beautiful life. I have a choice about many other things. I've gone up and had 8 operations in 22 years. I've been to death's door 8 times. And you see, I've been the strength for my loved ones. You are the strength for your loved ones if you live this program. And you see, I went up and had 3 operations in 6 weeks. The doctor said to me, "You have cancer." He says, "I'm only going to give you 6 months to live." I says, "Uh-uh, you don't talk to me like that." I said, "My program says one day at a time." That's where it's at. That's where it's at. That's where it's at. Yeah. I want to tell you all something nice. I'm 18 and a half years an arrested cancer patient, and my motor's running fine, sugar. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Yes. Yeah. 13 years ago, August the 11th, I had a heart attack. And I laid in the LaGuardia Hospital for 5 weeks, and you've got to watch yourself when you get physically sick, because you get into the poor me's. Self-pity sneaks in there. And you say, pour me a drink. You see, and I had to take my negative self home and make myself positive. But it took Liz Bailey 20 years in AA to find the answer to her life. I had to learn to take all these scars and turn them into stars. And I found the key to seek God first in His kingdom and His righteousness for all things to be added unto me. Get up now and say, "Good morning, God," instead of saying, "Oh, God, it's another morning." Because I used to hate to see another day come, to sweat it out. My friend was coming down the street from his job one day, and a guy held him up in the city, and he said to him, "Man, don't you see I got a disease?" And the guy ran from him. He said, Liz, he didn't even give me a chance to tell him I was an alcoholic. And you know, I hated that word disease when I got here. And I looked it up in the dictionary, and it means dis-at-ease with oneself. I readily tell you, I have the disease of alcoholism. And so, again, it took me time to believe that there was a power greater than myself that could restore me to sanity, and it meant that I had better change my thinking and my actions. I came to believe in this power. I came to learn how to turn my life and my will over to the care of God. I did that in the airplane yesterday, up in the air. I said, let the outer go and let my inner flow take over. And that's what I did to come here yesterday. Praise God that I've learned how to do these things. I do make the difference. What do I really want to affect me? Thank God you are my support system. I hung on to this weekend. I hung on to it, and I can't thank you all enough. And so I've humbly asked God to help me in my shortcomings and character defects. I'm not smart enough to do it on my own. I need help for the change that has come in my life. Again, I've made amends to me, and in loving me, I can love you. If I don't go to meetings and listen for me, I can't give it to you. I don't talk all the time. I make 3 or 4 meetings a week to listen, to recharge, to give out. I still speak 20, 25 times a month. I still travel this entire United States and Canada. Wherever I'm called, I am a responsible person today. Thank God, because there was a time that you couldn't depend on me for anything. I remember walking down the streets of Jamaica Avenue one day, going to buy my baby a playpen. And the guy stopped me and asked me to have a drink. And I said, don't bug me. He says, one drink won't hurt you. And I said, don't bug me. And I got in front of the bar, and the bar pulled me in. My baby's 38 and haven't got that playpen to yet. So you see, I'm so grateful today that I am a responsible person. When anyone, anywhere, reaches out their hand for Liz Bailey, dear God, please let me be there. I've made amends to my loved ones. There's one bartender I owe $2. I'll never give him the lousy $2. I sent his children to college, sitting on the stoop. I bought him the finest Cadillacs you ever laid your eyes on. I used to watch him go up and down. And I just want to take one of you drunks to Vermont and show you the house I bought him. It would injure me to give him the $2. That's the only amends I haven't made. Believe me. See? Only one. The only one. When I'm wrong, I promptly admit it. I have to, otherwise it eats at me. And when I'm right, I do try to shut up. I don't tell you I shut up all the time, but I do try. Each and every day, I was up before 6 this morning, and I sought through prayer and meditation to have a conscious contact with God, praying only for His will for me and the power within me to carry out what God tells me to do. And God told me to come here this weekend because He said, Liz, you've got to keep on doing what you've been doing. And I, too, write on every card to you, keep on keeping on. That's where it's at, one day at a time. And in the giving I have received, and in the giving I keep this beautiful gift of sobriety. Sobriety is a gift. And if you want to keep this gift, I suggest that you let a power greater than yourself come into your life. It might be easy, does it, but do it. It's only suggested to you. Again, after I've had a spiritual awakening as the result of the 12 steps that I've just taken you down through with my life, I'm still trying to carry a message. Every night a different white man pulls up to my house to take me to a meeting. I've never had a car in sobriety. And my neighbors say, oh my God, from a drunk to this, what is she putting down? You know, I still upset my neighbors hopping those cars. But I thank God I knew what I'm putting down. Because there was a time I couldn't tell you what I was putting down. Okay. And so again, I'm still practicing these principles in all my affairs. I've been privileged to go back to school after 44 years of not being in school, taking up New York visiting nursing, and I graduated with an 88 average. I've done many, many beautiful things with my sobriety. Yes. take sobriety and go beyond sobriety and make it pay off. I'm going to close now with congratulations to my friend out there with his 12th anniversary. I want to thank Pat and Ray for meeting me at the plane yesterday. So beautiful, and I've fallen in love with Pat. She's so beautiful. And I want to thank Clarence for the beautiful cup that he gave me with the Serenity Prayer. And I want to thank each one of you personally, if I could just touch you and tell you how much I love you for tonight. And go with me with prayer in the things that I have to do of the Lord. Please go with me and stay, because you are my support system. We can do together what I could never do alone. I haven't come this far alone. I've come with many, many beautiful people. If I've left your name out tonight, please forgive me, because I would take all night to name so many of you in this room that has been a part of my sobriety. You know who you are. And this is the prayer that I close every meeting with. If I have just helped one somebody in Liz Bailey's lifetime, I have not lived in vain. Thank you.
Thank you, Lewis. You always seem to say everything, and tonight's no exception. Well, thank God that you were able to come and share with us tonight. And our hearts and our prayers do go out for Mr. Bailey. We wish him Godspeed and recovery. We thank you, Liz. We have a little gift for you. Don't forget the Serenity Singers are going to help us with the Lord's Prayer. We'd like to thank you, one and all, who came from far and near. We'd like to thank you for taking time to be with us this year. We thank you for the kindness shown, for your sharing and your giving. You made our day when you came our way. You made our life worth living. We thank you very much. And now if you will join us in the Lord's Prayer, please.